Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to the channel. Donald J. Trump had a phone call with Vladimirovich Putin on the 4th of June. That's Wednesday and not just the birthday of King George III. But when Trump has a phone call with Putin, it doesn't end well for anyone who cares about freedom. Trump wasn't reading the riot act to him. Remember when he thought that Zelensky said one wrong thing, saying that you will feel whatever, and so you're going to feel the threat from Russia. Trump lost it. He was shouting, a temper tantrum, and so on. Where is this toughness with Putin, one of the people he fears? The two groups that Trump will never ever criticize are white supremacists and Russians. Why? Yes, that's typical of them. I mean, it's not bad to be pro-Russian. I've got Russian friends and so on. No nationality is all bad, or no nationality is all good. But Russian ultra-nationalists who want launching these illegal wars of unprovoked aggression and so forth, wanting to impose their genocidal totalitarianism on other countries, attempting the erasure of Ukrainian identity, the lobotomization of the Ukrainian nation. He's happy to facilitate that, just as he wants to cretinize his own country. Trump wants to. So, from the readout of it, he doesn't appear to have criticized at all what Putin has been saying, and they seem to have a rapport. Somehow, Putin's able to get him on side, manipulate him, knows what buttons to press. Putin is an evil, evil monster, but he's not stupid. He's very adept in getting the best out of people, pretending to agree with them on whatever. He can butter them up. He realizes all the psychological vulnerabilities of Trump. Trump's obviously so easy to read. Just lard on the praise. Now, anyone else, an ordinary person like me, if someone's praising me excessively, I smell a rat. What do you want out of me? This rings false. Immediately, my suspicions are raised, but obviously not so with Trump. But obviously Trump is such an ignoramus, he wouldn't realize what Putin's actual opinions are. I mean, Putin is occasionally sincere about what he believes, such as that Ukraine is not a nation. All right. So, Donald J. Trump said that Russia is going to respond very strongly to the Ukrainian attacks on Russian air bases. Well, that was to be expected. No one could doubt that. Obviously, Russia attacks Ukraine every single day. I mean, how much more can they do than they're doing already? Not very much. I mean, they sometimes have days when they fire 200 drones at Ukraine. They can't do it every day because they just don't have enough of them. So they have to save them up for several days and then do big hits. Sometimes they went several weeks without a significant drone strike on Kyiv, and life was becoming almost normal. And Trump said that his phone call did not lead to instant peace between the two warring countries. Well, surprise, surprise. Remember that he was going to bring peace in one day, How many days into his presidency now? Something like 120, and it's been yet another colossal failure, yet another massive lie by Trump that he could bring peace immediately. Goodness. And then obviously Putin is claiming that the legitimate and democratically elected government of Ukraine is a terrorist organization, which it absolutely is not, obviously, which is the Russian state commits acts of terrorism at home and abroad, and particularly against Ukrainian civilians. All right, so Russia is still reeling from these the 1st of June attacks, when it took out some nuclear capable bombers. So more and more particulars of that have come out. The one thing is, I'm not sure what's published in the press is the true story, because is this was such a resounding success for such a low cost? See, it seems not a single Ukrainian was killed or even wounded or captured in this operation. Why on earth would they tell us all the details of it? Because if this works so well, wouldn't they reprise these tactics again? Sorry, that's a tautology. Simply reprise these tactics. So they might be laying a false trail, because Russia's going to analyze what happened, how did it happen, how can we prevent this sort of thing ever recurring. The story that's being trotted out by the SBU, that's the Ukrainian intelligence, is they've been planning this for a year and a half. They established these fake companies in Russia. When they registered companies, in that sense, they were real. I don't know if they did some actual business. And who would do it? Would it be people who were, whatever reason, in Russia sympathize with Ukraine because they're of Ukrainian ethnicity, or just Russians who want to bring down the Putin regime? Possibly other foreigners. Remember, there are lots of, say, Uzbeks, Armenians, or Turkmen working there who were hired, maybe innocently not knowing what this is all about, to establish the companies, to be able to hire trucks or trains or be moving freight around, to get these trucks and so on parked near Russian air bases, drones in them, very remotely operated, to come out of the roof of these various containers and so on, and hit the Russian air bases to target the wings of these planes, which are the weakest part. And you destroy the wings, it's more or less impossible to build new ones that are going to stay on. You take out the wing, then the whole plane is worthless. Some of these planes cost up to $350 million, and the drones that did it in some cases cost us $500. So the cost to Ukraine will be in the low tens of thousands of dollars. It's thought that Russia lost 10 planes. I mean, if they're each $350 million, ouch, you do the maths. And damaged at least another 10. How badly, I can't say. I'm not sure if they're repairable. So that was a tremendous victory for them. They hurt Russia very, very badly with that one. So how can Russia riposte to this? And we know they've hit Putin where it hurts. He really values his precious air force. He's been very risk averse on that one. So it's thought that well over 200,000 Russian soldiers have ki been killed. Some of the estimates up to 250,000 killed, something like 750,000 wounded. Now, some of those wounded could be like quadriplegic or whatever, triple amputees, things like that. Some of them quite lightly and could return to the battlefield on almost full capacity. But, and obviously several thousand prisoners, most of those have been exchanged. And Russia can't sustain this that much longer, because they were offering big bonuses, sign up bonuses up to seven, well, $17,000 was the average. It varied from region to region. In Moscow, you got to pay more because people earn more. In remote poverty stricken regions, the sign up bonus would be much lower, as well as high combat salaries. Of course, they're often not paying the salaries they're supposed to. When they were paying them off and not on time, not as bad it was even in the noughties. There wasn't a combat situation. And so they were getting up to 2,000 men to volunteer a day. It's thought to be now down to about 900 a day, and they're having to cut the enlistment bonuses because they just can't afford it. So that's a good sign for Ukraine. They say since January this year, Russia had about 20% of Ukrainian territory, has now got the 21%. The advance has been very small, gearing up for some big summer offensive, they say, around the Sumy region. But obviously, you can't really surprise people in the modern battlefield because of satellites. You can see everything coming, drones and all that. Having said that, obviously, Ukraine's achieved some strategic surprise in September 2022, but that was really overshadowed by the death of the Queen. The world's media is reporting Elizabeth II's funeral. It would have been a bigger story otherwise. Okay, so anyway, Trump is now the sewer of choice for Putin's propaganda. Why is he helping him, not saying anything remotely positive about a country that the United States has signed a legally binding treaty, ratified that treaty, the Budapest Memorandum, to help defend? And so on. So yeah, I mean, these talks in Istanbul, Turkey, they just went nowhere. So Trump is saying, well, he's just going to let them fight it out. Well, that's helpful. That's not really bringing peace, is it? If there were to be stricter sanctions to try and stop Russia's, or say, shadow fleet exporting oil and gas, that could bring Russia to its knees, giving more military aid to Ukraine. So the more of these strikes, so the war was just too painful for Russia. Russia's just not able to prosecute the war. That could bring peace, because we know caving into Russian demands will not bring peace. That'll bring there another invasion to take over the whole of Ukraine, and who knows who's next on the hit list. But yet again, it's been a failure of leadership, been a failure of vision by Trump. It's all deeply depressing. Anyway, Putin saying, oh yeah, we agree that Iran will never have nuclear weapons. We shan't allow it. But you see, Iran is an issue that Russia can play both sides of the street on. They know it's a problem for the United States, Saudi Arabia, Israel, and so on. Is a problem that Russia can turn up when that's helpful, or turn down depending on getting concessions in other areas. I don't think they care about it, actually. So they'll just posture on that one. So the Iranians know that they're no genuine friends of Russia. At the moment, it suits Russia to cooperate with Iran to get their Shahid drones and so on to form some anti-Occidental axis. All right. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then at PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.